People in Sudan have been spending an anxious night after fighting between the army and the country's biggest paramilitary group, the Rapid Support Forces. The doctors' union says at least 27 civilians have been killed. There were explosions and gunfire in the capital, Khartoum, and other parts of the country on Saturday. The army is refusing to negotiate with the Rapid Support Forces. It posted a video on its Facebook page, reportedly showing soldiers denying the takeover of the Corps of Engineers headquarters in the city of Omdurman.
Saturday, April 15, we are now in the armory of the Engineer Corps in Omdurman, Sudan. Whoever is saying that the Engineer Corps has fallen, we are now at the heart of it, in front of the Sudanese flag.
Well, the fighting has been concentrated in Sudan's capital. There were heavy clashes near the state TV building, the presidential palace, and at the international airport. 350 kilometres northwest of Khartoum, there was fighting around an airport in the city of Merowe. In southern Darfur, the Sudanese army still controls the airport in the town of Nyala, but violence has been reported there as well. Hiba Morgan reports from Khartoum.
It doesn't look like the situation is de-escalating. In fact, the army put out a statement saying that it will not negotiate with the Rapid Support Forces until those forces are dissolved and the rebel troops are dealt with. So it looks like, despite the fact that people have been calling for a de-escalation of the situation here in the capital and across the country, the armed forces look like they're going ahead with dissolving the Rapid Support Forces and continuing to attack. They've already labeled the group as a rebel force, and we're seeing a continuing of fighting here in the area of Khartoum, near the vicinity of the presidential palace. We can still hear shots being fired. We can hear heavy artillery being fired. It's not clear yet who is in control of the presidential palace, but the army says it is in control of the headquarters. The state television is being battled over, both sides wanting to gain control, and Khartoum International Airport at the moment looks to be under the control of the armed forces. So the escalation continues. Lots of tension here in the capital as fighting continues between both sides, with civilians caught in the middle. Heavy fighting spreads through Khartoum as tensions between the Sudanese army and a powerful paramilitary force spill over into the streets. The army says it's defending itself from attacks by the Rapid Support Forces across the capital. It's now designating the force as a rebel group.
We, the army, did not initiate any fight. We were present in our command and we were surprised with the attack at about 9:10 this morning, coupled with an assault on my residence. The army did not deploy or make any movement. The army headquarters and presidential palace are under the control of the general command. We do not wish to see this country slipping into war. However, we must teach a lesson to any non-regular militias.
But the Rapid Support Forces say their bases were attacked by the army.
This battle will pave the way to a peaceful solution. All those criminals will stand trials. I cannot give a time limit to the fighting. However, we are adamant to end it with the least of losses.
All flights have been cancelled at Khartoum International Airport, where armed men are on the tarmac. And Rapid Support Forces entered state television service Sudan TV. This was the moment the station's broadcast was cut. The fighting hasn't just been confined to the capital. There's been violence in North and South Darfur, West and North Kordofan states, as well as Merowe in Northern Sudan. Both sides claim control of major facilities there and in other areas. But so far, it's been hard to confirm who has the upper hand. Tensions between the army and the Rapid Support Forces emerged months after a military takeover in 2021, and they heightened when talks to integrate the RSF into the army stalled.
I really feel very sad and very angry. Actually, I'm enraged, and I say to both of them, shame on you, both of you. You have been entrusted for this great revolution, and you already committed a nonsensical coup.
Speaking in Vietnam, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Washington would continue to support Sudan's transition to a civilian-led government.
It's a fragile situation. There are other actors that may be pushing against that progress, but this is a real opportunity to finally carry forward the civilian-led transition, and one that we and other countries are trying to bolster.
People across Sudan are bracing themselves for more fighting, a new crisis, and an uncertain future. Heba Morgan, Al Jazeera, Khartoum.
The Sudanese army, as well as pro-democracy groups, have long demanded the rapid support forces be integrated into the military. It's estimated the group consists of about 100,000 fighters. Mohamed Val explains how it was formed.
The rapid support forces are paramilitary fighters, mainly from Darfur. The RSF was created by former President Omar al-Bashir in 2013 to stabilize the war-torn region in western Sudan and more broadly to consolidate his personal grip on power.
He was concerned about any security institution being strong enough to overthrow and challenge him. So he allowed, basically a proliferation of different armed groups and centers of power within the country.
But the origin of the force goes back to 2003. That's when President al-Bashir created and armed a tribal militia to crush a local rebellion in the West. The force became known as the Janjaweed. Sudan's current ruler, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, was instrumental in creating and training both the Janjaweed and later the RSF. He worked in the field for years with his now deadly rival, Mohamed Hamdan Daglu, known as Hameti, the commander of the RSF. In 2019, the two men joined forces to overthrow Omar al-Bashir. Al-Burhan headed the Transitional Military Council and Hamdan Daglu served as his deputy. But the RSF continued to grow in both size and means. By some estimates, it now boasts 100,000 personnel. It took on several roles, including border security and maintaining law and order across Sudan. Activists accused RSF of participating in the killing of 123 pro-democracy protesters in June 2019. But it's Hameti's aspirations for unrivaled political leadership in Khartoum that led to discord with his ally al-Burhan and paved the way for the current situation. Differences over the terms of integration of the RSF into the army intensified after the signing of a framework agreement that lay the foundations for the transitional period in December 2022. The failure of talks on this and other issues finally led to what observers have been warning about, an all-out military confrontation.
Crisis Group was warning just 10 years ago, while Bashir was still in power, that if he ever left power, one of the big concerns would be that he left behind such a mess in terms of the military and security that a huge risk was that these parties would themselves turn on each other.
As ever, it's the civilian population that pay the price. There's a palpable fear that the current conflict may prove more deadly and more destructive than any Sudan has witnessed in the past. Mohamed Val, Al Jazeera.
Let's take a closer look at how matters evolved. The most recent bout of instability in Sudan began in 2019. That's when the military ousted longtime leader Omar al-Bashir after months of mass protests. Then the army moved against the protesters, but under international pressure, it was forced to sign a power-sharing agreement with civilian groups. Elections were set for 2023. In October 2021, yet another military takeover unseated Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok, who was seen as the face of the transition to democracy. On December 5th last year, military leaders signed another deal with political groups, promising to pave the way for fair elections and a return to civilian rule. And 2 weeks ago, Sudan was set to take the next step, but disputes about how to integrate the rapid support forces into the army got in the way. Mohamed Khalafala is a researcher and policy analyst based in Khartoum. He says some political groups in Sudan have been aggravating the situation.
For the past few days, a lot of Islamist leaders associated with the former regime of Omar al-Bashir have been going on on social media, suggesting that the next few days will be very critical. You will see very, strong responses to the continuous exclusion of the Islamists and of the political process that continues to exclude them and so on. So they have been openly mobilizing their agents, their allies within the military and other associates throughout different groups to, you know, continue pouring fuel in the fire between the rapid support forces and the military. So I would suspect that has had, you know, a huge part in accelerating the escalation between both forces. Sudanese armed forces or the rapid support forces are not independent in any way and are not operating on their own in any way. They are both an extension for regional forces and so on, and with the international community exerting pressure on the respective allies of the SAF and the RSF, and pushing them to restore calm and to end the fighting and go back to talks would definitely go a long way.